God has given us two hands, one for receiving and the other for giving. Today at Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell teaches us how to steward the blessings of God.
They wanted to have a part in the offering that was being taken. This offering was being taken for the saints at Jerusalem who also had need. And here's what I want you to get in your mind. You may not teach the second or the third graders, but when you give, you are partaking in the fellowship of the ministry. And when boys and girls get saved, all of us have a part. All of us are fellowshipping together.
Stewardship is an act of worship, an expression of faith, and a discipline for spiritual growth. In our series, The Gracious Steward, Pastor Chappell shows us how to steward the resources God has entrusted in our care. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Many Christians find it difficult to practice stewardship. But stewardship is more than giving money. It's about being accountable to God for the blessings He has given us. Today, we invite you to learn more about what it means to be a gracious steward. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Heart of Grace.
Well, for some of us this morning, there'll be a bit of review because these are principles that a mature Christian has at least heard once or twice in their life. For example, one of the verses we've learned over the years is this verse that simply says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. "Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom." And mature Christians are not afraid to trust God or to give in tithes and offerings because they realize that when you give, God takes care of you. Give and it shall be given. In fact, let's read that green part together. Ready, begin. Give and it shall be given unto you. So that's a Bible promise that we can really hold to. And we really know that giving is not a debt we owe, it's a seed we sow. And I want many of you to really consider today how you're doing in trusting the Lord in this area, because this is a way that we grow in the Christian life. And this is why the word grace is mentioned so many times in the New Testament as opposed to merely the tithe. Tithing is a beginning point, but grace involves growing beyond what is required. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we have a wonderful passage to study this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he's challenging them upon the basis of the churches of Macedonia. And so let's get this in our mind just for a moment. The churches of Macedonia included Berea, Thessalonica, and Philippi. They had done awesome in their giving to the special offering. We're going to learn about that this morning. But the church at Corinth was lagging behind. Now, here's what's amazing about that. The Corinthians had good business. They had great culture. They had invented an eye salve for people who had eye problems. They were a commerce center of the first century. They had a lot, but weren't giving very much. The Macedonians didn't have very much, but they had been giving very generously. So Paul says, I want you to think about the Macedonians. I want to use them as an example for you in this area. So come to verse 1 and let's get a little introductory thought so we know where we're going. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we remind you of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." He said, I want to remind you how well they did. Now, we probably shouldn't say this, but sometimes we've said to our kids, "Hey, look at Johnny over there. He's playing basketball. He got B's. Come on, you can do that too." Something like that. The Apostle Paul said, "Hey, church at Corinth, come on. Macedonia had so little, but they did so well because they honored God and they believed that you cannot outgive God." Well, for those of you that are new around here, Lancaster Baptist Church has been like those Macedonian churches. You see, Lancaster, if you haven't figured it out, this isn't Beverly Hills, ladies and gentlemen. And there's not money growing on trees in Lancaster. But Lancaster Baptist Church has been able to build more buildings than any Baptist church in this state in recent years. Lancaster Baptist Church has been blessed to see, again last year, nearly 600 people baptized, which would be, if not the leading, one of the leading Baptist churches in the Western United States. What am I saying? First, I say, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. But second, I'm telling you that it doesn't matter where you live and it doesn't matter what you have. What matters is what's going on in your heart. Because like the Macedonians, they didn't have a lot, but they believed God and they grew in grace and great things happened. You know, I remember our very first time we had a special offering back in 1988. We called it Giving by Faith. And we got together and we had at that time 50 people that got together. And those 50 people, approximately 40 family units, as I challenged them to give by faith, we didn't have a building in mind. We didn't even have this property in mind. That's why we called it Giving by Faith. We just were starting to grow. And I said, folks, we need to get ready for the future. And those 40 families gave $50,000 at that offering. And that was the down payment we used to buy the land that you're sitting on right now. For 31 years, people have just by faith trusted God and by grace have given to the Lord so that we could go on in reaching the valley for Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, I want you to learn about this matter of grace with me and how to have a heart of grace. And I want you to notice in our text, first of all, that there is a picture of grace. I want you to see the picture of grace here in our text. Notice it says in verse 1, we do you to wit of the grace of God. If you're taking notes, I want you to see this word, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Would you say that with me, please? Bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So I want you to take this note. Grace is developed by the Holy Spirit. Grace is developed by the Spirit. It is a disposition created by the Spirit. And the word bestowed means to furnish. So what we're going to learn this morning is not something that the Macedonians did on their own. They didn't look themselves in the mirror every morning and say, you can do this, you're great. And it wasn't the power of positive thinking. But it was something bestowed upon them by the Holy Spirit. You see, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life. And the Holy Spirit gives you the grace to forgive, to love your wife, to love your husband, to be a godly person, to be a generous person. What Macedonian churches did was not something they could have done on their own or in their flesh. It was bestowed upon them by God. And I don't know about you, but I need God's grace in my life for lots of things, not just giving, but for trials, for difficulties. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I know that God has grace for you as you go through it. In fact, look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God says, look it, I've got enough grace. So whatever you're going through, it's all around us, the grace of God. And sometimes we need a little extra of the grace of God. What I'm telling you is when something doesn't go your way and you're a Christian, you pray, Lord, give me grace for this. I need to do the right thing and I want to have the right spirit and I want to have a good testimony. I don't know what happened to you this week, and I don't know what's going to happen to all of us next week, but I have a feeling if you're a Christian, you'll probably need some extra grace this week. And one of the things we learn about Macedonia, the only reason they gave was because the grace that was bestowed upon them. But secondly, notice, not only is grace developed by the Spirit, but grace is demonstrated by God's people. So let's see what the Macedonians did. Look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now notice here how they, first of all, were a church of affliction. Notice the words that are used in verse 2. A great trial of affliction. So these people in the area of Greece or Macedonia, they had a trial that was going on. And many people believe that the lack of economic strength they were experiencing was because they were Christians. They had lost their jobs because they were Christians. And instead of getting mad at God and saying, forget you, God, I'm not giving in the offering, they even were more generous to give to God because of grace. So they had a great trial. Then notice there in verse 2, it says that they also had a time of affliction. They were in distress. But then notice what it says. They were in deep poverty. Deep poverty. Now, how many of you have ever traveled abroad, or maybe you've been to a certain neighborhood in the Antelope Valley, or maybe some state that comes to your mind? How many of you have ever seen what you would consider to be poverty or deep poverty? Let me see your hands. Okay. It's not a pretty sight. I've seen it in Nicaragua. I've seen it in the Philippines. I've seen it in several countries, such staggering poverty. It's just hard to comprehend what has taken place there. I remember in the Philippines, I was there on a Thursday, and the pastor said, "Brother Chapel, we go out soul winning, and we go to the leper colony on one day, and we go to the jail on one day, and we go to the blind encampment on one day." And then he says, "On Thursday, we go to the trash dump. And today's Thursday, so we're going to the trash dump." And we drove outside of the city of Iloilo to this several hundred acre place of trash. And as we got there, I began to notice and kind of look a little bit, and you could see all around the trash where people had taken cardboard and metal and they had built little houses around the trash dump. And then when the trash started to come in, they would come out of their place and they would go rummage through the trash to try to find something to eat or something to subside them. Poverty. Now, I don't know what it was like in Macedonia, but I don't think the Holy Spirit put deep poverty because they were doing okay. I think they were in big trouble. I think they didn't know what was going to happen the next day. I think the moms worried about their kids, and I think the dads were embarrassed that they didn't have a job. They were in deep poverty. They were rock bottom poor. But you know, I've learned that trials will either make you bitter or better. And what the difference is the grace of God. And these people were better because of the grace of God. They experienced affliction, but notice also their giving was abundant. How do you do that? How does that happen except for God? Look at what it says in verse 2. They had a great trial of affliction, but the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, putting those two together, abounded unto the riches of liberality. So even though they were so poor, verse 2 says they had an abundance of joy. And this is what we learn in Christianity. Acts 20, 35, it's in your notes. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed," say it with me, "it is more blessed to than to receive." So these people were happy because they were giving, because they had the grace of God upon their life. So notice in verse 2, it says that though they had deep poverty, it abounded under the riches of their liberality or their generosity. That liberality was the result of God's Holy Spirit in them. Now, some givers are motivated by guilt. "Well, I better give. Pastor's talking about it, and my wife wants me to, you know. And I'll probably get hit over the head by God if I don't." They give by guilt. Some people are motivated by greed. "Well, he said give and it shall be given, so let's try it. Maybe I'll get something," kind of like the lottery. Biblical givers are motivated by grace, okay? Some people give because of greed. Some people give because of guilt. But biblical givers give because of the grace of God in their heart. I heard of a missionary over in Africa, and he'd been trying to teach people there about giving and tithing and so forth. And he had taught them one Sunday that the tithe is the Lord's. Malachi chapter 3, "Will a man rob God? Wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings." And he told them, "Folks, we need to start with the tithe. That's the beginning point. 10% belongs to the Lord." Well, that next morning, Monday morning, a guy knocked on his door, and he came up to the missionary's house, knocked on the door, and he had a huge fish. And he said, "Missionary, I have this for you. You said that I'm supposed to bring the tithe, and this is it." And the missionary said, "That's wonderful." He said, "But now, where are the other 9 fish?" He said, "Oh," he said, "they're still in the river, but I wanted to bring God his first."
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chapel on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchapel.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.